right. Part two. Part due of the show. This is where we tackle some current events and it gives Joe and I an opportunity to argue, which is always fun.
I just wrote to Joe's girl and she goes, "How's the show going?" And I go, "Good." I go, "Devin and I will be arguing soon."
Does she still listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Joe's girl. When you listen to the podcast, we miss you in the chat room. We hope the pandemic is finding you well.
Yeah. Yeah, miss you.
Not as much as Joe does, but he's a little bit more invested than we are. But we still miss you.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So the president found something else to be upset about. It's the airing of the grievances. And he has a new grievance. And it's an unlikely target. But do not underestimate what our president can get upset about. he is upset with mail-in voting. Why wouldn't he be? So he claimed that mail-in voting is corrupt and dangerous. In his defense, you could get a paper cut. And if you are a Seinfeld fan, you will remember that if you buy really old envelopes and you lick enough of the glue, it could kill you. So the president is correct. Mail-in voting can indeed be dangerous.
You know that phrase, going postal, didn't come out of nowhere.
No, it did not.
Having, you know, postal people come to your door is dangerous inherently.
Now, before he did this, he said on Fox News that, you know, more people voting means the Republicans, in his opinion, will never win again. That fucking tells you something about your ideas if you think you can't win on them. But whatever.
Right.
So experts say expanded postal voting is a critical component of any effort to hold a safe and fair election during the coronavirus pandemic. But mail ballots, they cheat. Not like female ballots. You can grab them right by the envelope. Anyway, mail ballots. Mail ballots, they cheat. People cheat, Trump said Tuesday when asked if states should expand absentee voting during the pandemic. Mail ballots are a very dangerous thing for this country because they're cheaters. They go and collect them. They're fraudulent in many cases. One day later, Trump tweeted that voting by mail doesn't work out well for Republicans. Why? Because you can't find the post office? He urged Republicans to fight very hard against any efforts to expand statewide mail-in voting. Take it to the streets, Joe! Take it to the streets! They're empty. Yeah, I think we lost Joe.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, he's quietly listening.
He's biding his time.
I have my points in a minute, but I've been doing this a while. I'm not going to interrupt you. We'll read the story and I'll give my points.
Okay.
And how to do this?
Okay, I apologize. Against any efforts to expand statewide mail-in voting, even though he had previously taken advantage of absentee voting in the home state of Florida. I'm not going to say which party does it, he said, but thousands of votes are gathered, and they come in, and they're dumped in a location, and then all of a sudden you lose elections that you think you're going to win. Yeah, fucking ask Hillary Trump about that and Al Gore. Anyway, Trump said later, implying wrongdoing by Democrats, even though the most egregious alleged voter fraud scheme in decades was designed to help a Republican, and as we know, that happened in North Carolina. We'll expand upon that in a second. Multiple studies have confirmed that there is no widespread voter fraud in this country, and millions of Americans vote by mail each year without systemic problems. This year, Democratic and Republican state officials have made it easier to vote by mail, acting from a recommendation from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, because they don't want you to die. For years, Trump has embraced conspiracy theories about voter fraud. He set up a presidential commission to investigate the issue, but the panel disbanded without uncovering any evidence to support Trump's claim that millions voted illegally in 2016, costing him the popular vote. Voter fraud does exist, but not on the massive scale that Trump claims. An expansive study in 2017 from the Brennan Center of Justice, which is a liberal-leaning think tank, found that the rate of voter fraud in the United States was somewhere between, oh fuck, there's a lot of zeros here, 0.00004% and 0.0009% of all votes. So not very much. Voting by mail has become increasingly popular in U.S. elections, and nearly a quarter of all voters cast mail ballots in 2016, according to the Election Assistance Commission. This includes traditional absentee ballots, plus the handful of states that conduct elections entirely by mail, which Trump singled out this week as a particularly dangerous system that is ripe for fraud. And he would know. While there are vulnerabilities, multiple layers of protections are in place to make sure voting by mail is clean, both by Election officials and volunteers, sometimes assisted by technology such as special software that compares signatures in a statewide database. If anything, experts say too many absentee ballots are improperly rejected. So what they're saying is people whose votes should count gets discarded because of all the safeguards they have. Voting by mail is getting more popular, too. The red state of Utah will use all-mail elections this year, undercutting Trump's theory that this system is only embraced by Democrats because it hurts Republicans. In Utah, the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general are all Republicans, and the GOP are super majorities in both chambers of the state legislature. So it's all Republicans there, and they're happy with it. Utah joined the small ranks of states that conduct all-mail elections, including liberal strongholds of Washington State, Oregon, and Hawaii, and the battleground state of Colorado. This is a flat-out lie from the president, said Ari Berman, a leading expert on voting rights. We have tons of data on the prevalence of voter fraud in this country, and it's a very small problem whether you vote in person or by mail. In Democratic-controlled states like Oregon, Republican-controlled states like Utah, there is no evidence of significant voter fraud. It's true that voting by mail poses some risks that don't exist with in-person voting, which Trump noted on Tuesday, but some of the most serious and credible allegations of absentee ballot fraud involve Republican operatives in North Carolina in an election for the House of Representatives in 2018. State election officials refused to certify the results and held a redo election in 2019. Trump, as we discussed, cast an absentee ballot in the Florida Republican primary in 2018. He voted absentee in the 2018 midterms. Asked about this contradiction, Trump said, "It was acceptable because I'm allowed to." That's not really helping. Yes, we're all allowed to. Other prominent members of the Trump administration have repeatedly voted absentee with mail-in ballots, according to the New York Times. That includes Vice President Mike Pence, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, and Commerce Secretary, if you can wake him up, Wilbur Ross. Trump's views on postal voting also undercut advice from other parts of his own government. Public health experts have warned that the in-person voting could put voters and poll workers at risk. The CDC published recommendations for how state and local officials should conduct safe elections. The very first recommendation said states should encourage mail-in methods of voting if allowed in the jurisdiction so people can vote while maintaining social distancing. After the White House briefing on Wednesday, the Trump campaign blasted out a press release with the subject line, "There's evidence of vote-by-mail fraud despite media indifference." The email highlighted a scattershot of alleged incidents from across the country and cited a report from the Conservative Heritage Foundation documenting 1,071 proven instances of voter fraud. The spin from the Trump campaign inadvertently confirmed the big picture truth about voter fraud. That's an extremely rare event in the U.S. election and is not a system-wide problem. The 1,071 cases of fraud flagged by the Heritage Foundation spans decades. But if there's been 1,071 fraudulent votes in the same election in the same state, then that still would not have been enough to change the outcome of the closest state in 2016 presidential election, which was Michigan. That would require a nearly a tenfold increase in the number of fake votes. Election professionals and voting experts are warning that the coronavirus pandemic is already threatening safety and integrity in the next presidential election. And we saw what happened in Wisconsin last week. This was fucking ridiculous. I talked about it briefly last week. So in Milwaukee, they were supposed to the governor waited a little too late, in my opinion, to try to postpone the election like other states, red and blue, have done. They've postponed the election to June, hoping that we have this under control. The Republican legislature said, nay, nay, you got to vote tomorrow. Then the Republican-led court said, nay, nay, you got to vote tomorrow. Then the Supreme Court, which has a 5-4 advantage and voted that way, says you have to vote tomorrow. So that while the government is telling us to social distance, people had to go out to vote. To make it worse, in Milwaukee, where they normally have 180 polling stations, they had 5 because they couldn't get poll workers to do it. So you had people waiting on closed lines for hours to vote after we're told by our government, stay away from each other. So they would rather respond. Then the most absurd thing, the speaker of the state legislature, the fucking balls. He's in like essentially a hazmat suit. He's got the fucking full gown on, gloves, mask, I don't know if he had a mask, but he had like fucking full gown. Yeah, he had a mask. Full gown on, saying, nah, there's nothing to worry about. You could come out. That motherfucker's protected, but he's telling everybody to come out and stand online like an asshole.
Really doesn't make sense.
So basically what it comes down to, the president has admitted. He's admitted. I'm not putting the words in his mouth. You can look it up. He's admitted in his mind that the more people vote, the worse it is for Republicans. Even though he votes by mail because he's allowed to, he doesn't ever want you to vote by mail. In 2006,
allowed to.
In 2016, I voted by mail because I was out of the country. You know who else? So he doesn't. Here's besides people who are out of their state, he doesn't want them to vote. People who are American citizens who move out of the country, he doesn't want them to vote. Our U.S. military, which the vast majority are not stationed in their home state, he doesn't want them to vote because all those people use mail to vote. We haven't had issues with this shit, but because this guy is scared of losing, because that's the only way you, only reason why you would suppress a vote, he doesn't want you to vote by mail. I think we should be voting by mail, especially this year, but I like it in general. I think I've never worried about Postman Pete fucking around with my fucking election. Never worried about that shit. Don't even worry about him stealing my checks. Good luck cashing that shit, motherfucker. I don't really worry about the Postal Service messing around with shit. This is a guy who reads the writing on the wall and is trying to suppress the vote. And in my opinion, when you're left, right, or center, you should be outraged. This is a concern. Win on the merit of your ideas. If you have the better ideas, make your case to the American public and win that way. And then, you know, that's fine. I got no problem with that. It's a problem trying to suppress the vote. All right. I'll open it up to the kids.
Okay. To start off, the president, obviously, like he usually does, he doesn't explain himself correctly. With the vote by mail, there are some disadvantages here. There's a whole list I'm going to go through. First of all, mail delivery is not uniform across the nation. Okay, there are some areas that have difficulty getting mail to. Sometimes P.O. boxes may be shared. Another case on that is security. During an all-mail election and absentee voting, there could be coercion.
Joe, do you need me to explain you explaining the president? Joe?
Coercion. Say what?
Joe, do you need me to explain you explaining the president?
Coercion. By family members or others might occur. Now, here's the deal. In the statement that they had, they said, look, incidences of mail election fraud have not been that much. And they are correct in the fact that you mentioned Colorado, Hawaii, mm-hmm. Oregon, Utah, and Washington. I'm just fucked up Utah. How do you do that? Utah and Washington. And basically the population of those states aren't as large, and it's only five states out of the whole union, okay, that do that. So that incidence would be smaller. In states that they do allow it, Idaho, they'll do it at 140 registered electors. Nevada, 20 voters registered in a precinct. New Jersey, bigger state, 500 or fewer persons. New Mexico, a big state, but 100 voters or less. So the incidents due to that number are going to be less. Now, in Texas, there has been a problem that has been outlined. Jonathan White, an assistant attorney general with the Criminal Prosecutions Division of the Texas Attorney General's Office, testified that mail ballot fraud is by far the largest problem that they see across the state. The one thing that they know that they're looking about mail and ballot fraud as a real problem, they've addressed it. Those things have changed in the last couple of years, but it's a dirty little secret that they're saying. The noted the problem is illegal voting by ineligible voters, particularly non-citizen voting, is happening in part. No documented proof of citizenship is required to register to vote. It's an honor system in part because no state agency oversees county voter registration and making sure they're accurate voter rolls. There's another gentleman, Omar Escobar. He's also the DA on this case. He goes, there's also an ongoing federal lawsuit over the county's voters' rolls revealed a couple of people registered to vote actually casting ballots in Starr County who shouldn't be non-citizens, deceased voters, and felons. He said that is a problem as well. One of the main things with this are investigation, they arrested seven people. Out of that, three of those arrested are politicares who are campaign voters, who campaign workers who harvest mail ballots on behalf of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
They submit a mail ballot application in the name of a deceased voter. And they are accused of falsifying the mail ballot under that name, making voters having a disability who aren't disabled.
You also explained how the panel the mail ballot harvesting works. Politicaris collect and submit signed ballot applications from voters.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the ballots are delivered to voters in the mail, they visit the voters' homes and help the voters fill out the ballots. An example of this is in Mississippi. A federal court found that a mail ballot fraud was a very real part of an organized scheme to disenfranchise voters. It worked like this. The harvesters snatched mail ballots from the mailboxes of people they knew.
This was North Carolina. Joe, this was North Carolina, right?
That was in Texas. It was Texas.
Okay, because there was a big thing with this in North Carolina, which was a Republican thing. All right, here's the thing. You're giving me some examples, and nobody's saying there's no voter fraud. Nobody's saying that. We're saying that the incidence of it are very small, like 120.
And you're correct. Now, here's the deal. The incidences of it are small, and you're correct in that is a fact. But the thing about it is that you have states with a lower population that are participating in this. You also have other states which are larger, but there is a numerical number that it can take place, 500 or less, 100 or less, 50 or less. So that incidence is going to be a lot less. Now, my thing is this, and think about the virus. I mean, the virus was something that started at one or two people, and then it grew to this big thing. If this happens in a smaller number, it will grow if it's going to be nationwide. One of the key things is the voter ID, which is going to be a key fact of this. If they're not going to do anything with voter ID, which is still a political hot potato, this could be it's going to be a catalyst to having a problem with the voting mail fraud.
I don't think – listen, you're always going to have fraud. And you made a better case than the president ever would, which is not fucking rare, to be honest.
I wish he did. Do I have to do it for him all the time? You think I'm fucking letter of thanks?
Yes, you do, because he's a goddamn moron. Yes, you do.
What he'll do is this, okay? And I'm being the devil's advocate.
You always are when you stick up for him. You're always the devil's advocate. It's exhausting.
But listen to me. Hear me out. He'll hear stuff like this, and then he'll go out and he'll say it. And it's like, well, what do you mean? I mean, it's not like the show where you want to make your point, you better have stuff to back it up. So I'm saying all of this stuff, and I'm not, well, where do you get your information? Well, here. Here's how I, the way to do this. Yeah.
Joe, here's the point. Joe, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The health risk is so grave right now that we have to do this. What was done in Wisconsin was despicable, and it cost the Republicans. But that day, Trump goes out and puts his name behind the incumbent Republican judge, and that Republican judge lost to a Democratic judge who'd never run before for a judge, I think, by over 100,000 votes.
And this is where they put, and this is where the Republicans put their foot in cow shit. The whole purpose, at least what they were saying, the whole purpose was, well, we have this judgeship. And his appointmentship runs out on this date, so we have to have this. They should have figured out a way to delay it. If they were so against having mail elections, they should have delayed it because.
Listen,
now,
I'm sure if you go to the Wisconsin governor and go, listen, we're going to push back the elections, but you have to make an executive order or we have to come up with a statute that because of this one time, this extreme circumstance, he gets carried over to whatever the fucking date was they would have decided in June. It doesn't. Other states did this. Pennsylvania did it. Ohio did it. Blue, red states did it. This was.
It was a bullshit move. It was a bullshit move on the Republicans.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and I tell you no. It was stupid. They put their foot in cow shit over this.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We need more people voting. And I'm sorry if the president doesn't think the Republicans can win if more people vote. That, to me, is a Republican problem or a president problem. If you think your ideas are so shitty that people won't vote for them, get better ideas. Or if you think you have good ideas, don't worry about it. You're going to win. He shows no confidence in this. And this is the disenfranchisement. You talk about stepping and shit. That's what they're doing. People are sick. People watched what happened in Wisconsin. People are sick of the Republicans trying to suppress the votes. It's going to bite them in the ass. And in this situation, we need to have mail-in voting because we can't go out if everything's the way it is now. And I would also say if we could ever, and I don't know if we can, get the security up to snuff, we should have online voting too. But that's even a bigger security issue.
Yeah, I would say that that's a bigger security issue, online voting at this point. But the thing is, like, with the Republicans, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't do things like voter suppression and gerrymandering and then say, oh, but we really don't like you using the mail either because there's, you know, possibilities for fraud. There's always going to be some possibility of fraud, but they haven't proven that it's a large amount of it. Not that any amount is acceptable, but it's going to happen. The thing is that we can't do what Joe and I do when it's blog day and wait until the last minute and write it. We know November is going to come. We don't know what kind of shape we're going to be in, and we have to make this as smooth a transition as possible to be able to vote in this different style, because we can't say, oh, you know what, here we are on the eve of voting for our presidential election and we're not sure what to do, so we're going to put it off. We can't have a constitutional crisis over this. We have to work on it now.
Well, I mean, I think, and yeah, I may be wrong, but a lot of people think
that don't say that.
You know, a lot of, you know, Trump is trying to stall this out, you know, run out the clock. That's what I think he's doing. I listen, and this is opinion, and then we'll move on. I've been watching this guy, and I've been watching him during this thing. The guy is scared. You don't get yourself impeached over Joe Biden if you fucking think you can beat him. You don't fucking spend 2 hours yelling at the press every day if you got your shit together. You don't, if you are confident in your platform and your party, you don't go on your fucking news channel and go, you know, the more people to vote, I don't think the Republicans will ever win again. You don't go in front of the microphones and ask China to investigate Joe Biden. You don't do those things if you're confident. This guy, and this is
come on, come on, stop. There was movie day yesterday. Stop your bitching.
Joe, I can't watch the movie anymore. You know, Joe, the press conferences are like the Police Academy movies. The first couple were good, but it's enough. I get it. I don't care.
They're making the noises like that guy that's all he does.
Listen, I don't care if you bring Steve Guttenberg back for a cameo. I'm not interested anymore. It's over. I'm done with Mahoney.
See, my whole thing is this. Like I said, it should be explained. He should explain it in the way I explained it, okay, and give examples. And that he with the whole thing with voter registration, you know, or not voter registration, voter ID, he could make a case. Look, you want to do the mail thing. The main catalyst of the problem is voter ID. If you want me to get behind this, or you want people to get behind this, we need to do something with the voter ID laws.
Yeah, but I don't know how you would do that with mail-in, Joe. I mean, they have ways to do it already. I mean, you know, whether it's comparing, you know, signatures, I don't know. What fax your picture or mail your picture?
Then you know what? And like I said, using strategy, use that as a stumbling block. At least use that as a stumbling block to be against it. And I'm just saying, from a debate point.
Why are we debating this?
Use it as a stumbling block. It's negotiation.
Why are we debating this? As Americans, left, right, center, you should want people to vote. The way this democracy works is competing ideas, and may the best ideas win. That's how this country has run for many years. That's how it's supposed to run. These games of shenanigans, people are sick of it.
Oh, yeah. But they're not going to stop.
Saying they will, but you know, but as you said, the Republicans stepped in it. I think they're in fucking trouble, and it's because of their own making. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago. I would love Trump to kick ass with this COVID-19 and lead us to victory and bring it all together where November comes. You go, yeah, of course he's going to win in a landslide. He fucking killed it with the pandemic. What strong leadership. Wow, he really brought the country together. I said that because that's good for the country. Not that I want 4 more years of Trump by any means, but that means he hit it out of the park. His own allies don't want him doing these press conferences anymore. The guy is scared. He's flailing. He's trying to do everything. It's going to bite him in the ass. All right, let's move on.
Well, yeah.
Quickly.
No, I think, like I said, and I've been saying that all along, at the press conference, just go up, answer a couple of questions, and get out the back door. I got to handle stuff. See ya, you know?
Well, that's the thing. He's his own. I mean, nobody wants to watch this shit anymore. It's so fucking personal. It's a gotcha question. No, we just watched a fucking video. We're asking you a question about the video.
I get a little nervous, and I've said it before. I said it the week before, too. I get a little nervous when he gets up there and he starts taking questions like, shit.
Starts taking questions. That's what these are, though, now. We didn't even get anything. We don't even get anything from the doctors anymore. And the doctors who are working around the clock and the scientists are working around the clock, there's no reason for them to be standing there. If they're not going to talk to us, there's no reason for them to be there. Let them rest. Let them work. There's no reason for them to be sitting around for fucking 2 hours so President Trump could have his nice nightly festivus of the airing of the grievances. And that's the thing. That's what's killing him. More people. Listen, with the stuff with Ukraine, with the stuff with Mueller, America wasn't really paying attention. Let's be honest about it. We were paying attention because we're into this stuff. We're into politics. And you can have your opinion one way or the other. But most of America was living their lives, going to work, doing their activities. Guess what? Nobody's got fucking work anymore. Nobody's got any activities. We're all watching this guy, and he thinks we're tuning in for the Trump show. No, we're tuning in to see if we're going to fucking live or die and when we can go back to work. And then to see him flailing around for 2 fucking hours, yelling at everybody. Unless you're part of the 40% that is ride or die with Trump, most people are going to go, I can't. I don't need this now. I'm fucking scared. My kids got to go back to school. Am I going to work again? Tell me what the plan is. Don't tell me how amazing you are. Don't tell me what you did 2 months ago. Don't show me a promo fucking video of your greatest hits. What are you going to do? I'm scared. I don't know if I'm ever going to work again. My aunt is sick. My neighbors. What are we going? What's going on? That's why people are tuning in, and they're not getting it. And they're not getting that from him, and that's why he's going to fucking lose, and he knows it. He's fucking desperate. I guess there's nobody. I guess he fired everybody that could say, Mr. President, please step away. I guess all those people left in the first 3 years when he hired all the best people, because now if you want your job, you're pretty much going to let him do what he's going to do, and he's fucking self-destructing.
Well, yeah, and he's and what the problem is that he doesn't have a rally to go to, and
yes,
that might be the case where there needs to be somebody at a meeting going, listen to me. You're against an old man that doesn't know what century it is, okay?
Oh,
and frankly, has been thinking we've been fighting cholera for the past 2 fucking months. You know,
fucking cholera, Ooh. Joe. Kudos to you, a cholera reference.
you need to go out. This is not a rally. You need to be concise. Start, you know, and keep the I listen to the right wing media. They just keep the press conferences brief. Just go up, ask some questions, stuff like that.
Well, didn't they used to call it a press briefing? Joe, wasn't it called a press briefing? Wasn't that the point? So it was brief.
Yeah, I know. And it's like sometimes when your boss speaks or something like that, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, just go upstairs.
Yeah. Just go upstairs. I got shit to do. You're making it harder.
You know, you sit there, just go upstairs. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But that's every day, man. That I mean, what was it? What did we have? Palm Sunday last week? There wasn't supposed to be a press conference. But you hit it right, Joe. He doesn't have the rallies. He needs the attention. He's always tweeting about his fucking ratings still with this thing. The guy is so narcissistic, he thinks it's about him. And again, his 40%.
Of course it does. We knew that from and that's the funny thing. You're just discovering this.
No.
That's half the reason he got in.
But Joe.
I voted for.
But here's the thing. The 40% think it's great. The other people, and they're not all Democrats. There are a lot of people voted for Trump because they hated Hillary and they had no idea what Trump was. That, you know, there was a lot of I hate Hillary voting in the last election. And
yeah.
But now everybody's tuning in and they're going, what the fuck is this? He needs to be medicated.
All right. Well, the only saving grace is excuse me, is he gets everybody back to work at least by June. the economy starts to recover, people have short memories, and he goes against Joe Biden. You
sure.
Know, and that's the key.
But Joe, we're not going to work by June. We don't have the testing. March 6th, he said everybody who wants to get a test can get a test. We still don't have it a month later. We're not, and they've done surveys. Vox just had a survey. Like 70 to 80% of people are not going to go back to work, even if the economy is open, because people are fucking scared. They got to get the testing done, and that's the first step.
This will be a conversation for June. It also gets to a point where you've got to go. I gotta get back to work, or businesses will think and we're gonna have to take our chances.
We're there, Joe. We're there, but the problem is people don't want to die. I know it's very inconvenient of them, but
right today, Davin, it's a rough conversation to have because we flattened the curve here in the East. The rest of the country, not so much. The people going into the hospitals are declining. The deaths are still there. So at this juncture, it's a rough conversation to have. But going into mid-May, going into June, it's another conversation to have to see where we are and to see if it's worth the chance.
But Joe,
is the coast is clear.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But again, what the first thing we – You and I had a little thing together on Facebook going against each other where you go, well, he's a cheerleader. The country doesn't want a fucking cheerleader from the president. We want real answers about when these tests are going to be there, because that's the key, because we do want to work. We don't want aspirational things. We don't want bullshit. We want the president to go, listen, here's the deal. If we keep going at this pace, we're going to have testing by July, by June, by August. Here's what we need to do to get to that point. Here's how we need to get through it. That's what people want. We want a fucking plan. We don't want our asses powdered, and we don't want a fucking cheerleader. And that's what people...
But that's the thing. And it's optimism. Now, hear me out on this. It's got to be optimism with results. So
yes! Yes!
That's the key thing. So,
yes!
You know.
But Joe, we're going to be open by Easter and go, well, that's just aspirational. No, no good. Everybody who wants to get a test on March 6th can get a test, and over a month later, you still can't have it. No good. No good. You got to do better. And listen, this whole thing, I can't believe we're talking about the fucking election now, but then we're going to move on. But this whole thing, it's not going to come down to Ukraine. It's not going to come down to Mueller. It's not going to come down to whether you believe Biden knows what century it is or not. It's not going to come down to who groped who. It's all coming down to this shit. COVID-19. It's all coming down to the pandemic. Joe is absolutely right. If miracle by miracle, we're all working again in June, and there's not a second or third wave, and the economy picks up again, and it picks up quickly, which most people don't think it will, most optimistic thing, by June, all this happens, and despite all this fucking babbling and bullshit and nonsense, President Trump will get credit for that, and then I would expect him to win. I would expect him to win. I don't think he would deserve credit for it because I've been watching the whole thing, but a lot of people don't watch the whole thing, even though more are than usual. But, Joe, I don't think that's going to happen. But it's all going to come down to COVID-19. Everything else...
You know what, though? Even though you don't think it's going to happen, it's a very good synopsis.
I hope it happens. I want us to work.
That would be a great synopsis.
Of course.
And if it doesn't, he's got problems.
He's got problems. Yeah, Joe, we all want to go back to work. We're not a lazy country. People are scared. We want to go to the supermarket and not fear fucking dying. fucking stupid thing.
What? Did it go down again?
Yeah.
The topic? Oh, okay.
No.
Hold on. God.
What is it, the Facebook feed or the regular feed?
The Facebook feed, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just fucking fixing that right now. Oh.
Okay.
What's going on with this thing? All right, go live. All right.
Frozen. Looks like I stunned you.
You did. Your powers of persuasion,
I had a
Joe.
Salient point.
Joe had a salient point, and I couldn't react, and I just froze, like a camper when a bear is on the prowl. I froze.
He agreed with me, and he did debate.
I froze the man.
You froze the man. Well done, Joe. Well done, sir. All right.
You broke Gazombo and Facebook.
You broke Davin.
You ruined it.
No. All right. Yeah. So it's going to come down to that. Listen, the more people vote, the better for the country. The more people who are engaged, the better for all of us. Bring the better ideas. It should come down to that. Whoever has the better ideas should win, whatever those ideas are. All right. Government's paying churches. So in a development that could challenge the Constitution's prohibition of any law respecting the establishment of religion, the federal government will soon provide money directly to U.S. churches to help them pay pastors' salaries and utility bills. A key part of the $2 trillion economic relief legislation enacted last month includes about $350 million for the Small Business Administration to extend loans to small businesses facing financial difficulties as a result of the coronavirus shutdown. Churches and other faith-based organizations classified as businesses qualified for aid under the program if they have an exclusively religious orientation. Faith-based organizations are eligible to receive SBA loans regardless of whether they provide secular social services. No otherwise eligible organization will be disqualified from receiving a loan because of the religious nature, religious identity, religious speech of the organization. Churches have been especially hit hard by shutdown orders because many of them rely on weekly offerings that are no longer collected. There is a portion of the revenue that just by virtue of people's habits and practices won't come back, Vice President Pence said. So, like, it's not – once that money's gone, it's not coming back. Trust me, as a comic, I can relate to that. Under the Trump administration, the federal government has already been providing funds directly to churches, synagogues, and mosques and other religious organizations. In 2018, FEMA changed its rules to make houses of worship eligible for disaster aid. Why doesn't God handle it? He caused it. The new SBA, it's an act of God. He should clean up the mess. Anyway, the new SBA program, however, takes federal funding of religious institutions significantly further. Under the new Paycheck Protection Program, businesses with fewer than 500 employees, including faith-based organizations, are eligible to receive loans of up to $10 million, with at least 75% of the money going to cover payroll costs. The loans are in large part forgivable, so churches, other houses of worship won't have to worry about paying all the money back. Organizations that advocate for strict church-state separation are criticizing the program. The government cannot directly fund inherently religious activities, argues Allison Gill, legal and policy vice president of American Atheists. It can spend government tax dollars on prayer or on promoting religion, proselytization. It can't spend. That directly contradicts the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. This is the most drastic attack on church-state separation we've seen. According to the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Advocates for government funding of religious institutions argue that denying them aid is available to non-religious institutions amounts to discrimination. So the court has been moving in the past 15 years to allow more of that. That wasn't always the case. Under existing SBA regulations, among the for-profit businesses declared ineligible for loans are those principally engaged in teaching, instructing, counseling, or indoctrinating religious or religious beliefs, whether in a religious or secular setting. That rule, however, may soon be eliminated. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. We put it up on the Davin Zed Facebook page as a poll. It's an interesting thing because you have the separation of church and state, but the government did force this shutdown. I mean, but then again, so here's the thing. If you're going to give them money, then they should have to pay taxes on what they collect to be part of the program. That's what I would say. Because that way, at least you're contributing. Yeah, I feel like now they can have their cake and eat it. Whatever they collect is not taxed, and they still get a bailout.
Yeah, I wrote the blog on this, and what I'm going to be saying is a compendium to the blog. I don't have a concrete answer on this. Basically, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of thereof. That's the separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. But to your point, they shut the churches down, and they want to pay the pastors. Like I said, a church in a way is a small business. A business runs. They have a product. They sell the product. The proceeds go to pay the lights, the employees, and stuff like that. A church, their product is faith. In the community, people come in and they provide faith and they get donations. Because of a shutdown, there's no donations, and it's tough to make that run. And the woman from the atheist organization was saying, well, it's a separation of church and state. And with the quarantine, there's no donations coming in. They're closed. They really can't, you know, provide religious beliefs on that. So you would say, okay, well, get them the money. The other part of that is that they don't pay property taxes. They don't pay taxes on their proceeds, which is interesting. Also, going on that, what church will get the money? Who'll qualify? You'll have a church in a poor community that really could use the money. They could get the money. But in the same effect, you have a church like Joel Osteen's or the Catholic Church that has millions and millions of dollars. Do they get paid? Also, you have churches that are a mask for hate, such as the Westboro Baptist Church, which could be eligible for the money. You know, also another thing, will the churches that get the money be politically swayed if they receive the money? So it's a very good argument. I don't have an answer here. I don't know. And I'm glad we're doing this story because, you know, I'm curious to get your opinion. Well, obviously, David, you offered yours, you know, and Pip, I'm interested in yours because I don't know the answer on this.
Well, I think that I probably am, well, I definitely am in the minority because as an atheist, I don't believe that there is a place for religion in our democracy. It shouldn't be part of our political things at all. We shouldn't be keeping people from worshiping in any way that they see fit, nor should we be pushing any of these religious ideas on people in a political setting. Now we're seeing that creeping in. You can't help different religious groups from, you know, pushing their own political agendas. They're allowed to say what they want.
And they do.
And they do, of course. But when you have things like, we have to have prayer in schools, we're going to have the Ten Commandments in public buildings, we're going to have In God We Trust on our money, which we didn't always do. When we have these things creeping in, that alarms me in and of itself. But then we have entities that do not pay taxes looking for taxpayer money. Now I have a problem.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think what you do is you give everybody a choice starting now. Everybody a choice starting now. If you want a bailout, then once this gets resolved and for the next 5-10 years, you have to pay taxes on what has not been taxed before. If you're unwilling to pay taxes on your stuff, no hard feelings. You're on your own. You let them decide.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way to do it.
Because then that would act as a loan, and you know, or you have to pay the taxes back, and it's like we're helping you out, but you have to pay the taxes back. You know, like I said, there's both a constitutional aspect, and then there's both a small business entity aspect on that. The taxes would go into the small business aspect of that. As for the church and state, I think that they're just paying the pastors. There's nobody really in the churches, so they really can't proselytize, you know, the way they would. That would affect the law. So it's kind of like that. So out of the freedom of church, separation of church and state, I think the tax aspect would come more into debate. What church would get the money and you're paying the money back.
You know, this whole thing is it's not easy. Like I said, we always post poll questions. This is one of the poll questions that was on the Davinson Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So I'll read what some of the fans had to say, and we'll move on. Basically, I think I came up with possibly the only solution, but really there is no clean-cut way, and they are going to get the money. That's what's going to happen right now. But anyway, here's some of the comments from some of the folks. Tony said, I guess as long as the government is controlling them with attendance, yes. The loss of income from collection is a direct cause of the state's movement in gathering restrictions. They're even fining churches for holding masses. Laura said if they're expecting them to follow the no congregating rule, then yes, they should support them. Trucker Tom said, I don't have a problem with it because it isn't rejecting or acknowledging a specific religion over another, nor is it preventing or acknowledging any religion from being expressed. Religion or not, they need money to buy food and supplies too. With one allowed to attend, their income stops dead and it's in its tracks just like ours. Now, before I go into the final one, I would say, though, it seems like there's a lot more sympathy for the religious organizations that do not have money right now and did not plan for a rainy day, because that's what we always say to people who lose their jobs or don't have money or are homeless. Well, you should have planned ahead. You know, you got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. That's the tough luck capitalism that so many like in this country, until, of course, they need money. So it is kind of interesting to see that some people, and I'm not saying they wouldn't have this attitude towards poor people, but we know how tough it is for people who are down on their luck in this country. We know how it is interesting to see more people willing to help the churches and the mosque and the temples. And Harry said, no, if they're political, it's time they pay taxes. So there you go. There you go.
Well, if I could also add to that, most of the answers that they gave, that the fans gave, was, well, if they're not, you know, if it's not really politicizing it, they got hit. It wasn't of their own accord, like any other business. So you kind of see where the money is going is kind of like not more of a separation of church and state, just a situation that was created, and the fans were kind of saying, if these stay within those guidelines, and we're not talking about the tax aspect, just the separation of church and state. If these stay within those guidelines, that's fine.
But then I would argue again, and this is just broadening it out, and then we'll move on. People get struck with horrible illnesses. They have cancer. They go bankrupt. They have to do GoFundMes. It's no fault of their own. But a large part of our society, and that's one of the big debates that we've had for the past years, do you have a right to health care? A large part of our society is like, tough titty, said the kitty. Figure it out. I know it's not your fault, but it sucks. I mean, listen, this pandemic, them being closed, this is not the churches, temples, and mosques' fault. But it's just kind of interesting. A lot of people aren't going, well, that's, I mean, some people are. But it's just weird how we look at an organization versus, say, your neighbor. It's just like an interesting, I don't know why that is. I don't have an answer for that. It's just kind of an observation that you just like watching this. Why are we more sympathetic to the local church than to the neighbor down the block who got cancer and now, you know, has to do a GoFundMe or is declared bankruptcy? It's not their fault they got cancer. It's just an interesting observation, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we provided no definitive answers. Good for us. We're ready to become part of it.
Well, no, not good for us. It's a damn tough question.
It really is.
There's no right or wrong answer to this. There really isn't.
No,
it's just a matter of opinion, and you know, and should be debated for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
now we don't have time.
Thank you,
Pip.
Go on and on.
You beat me to it.
I think we couldn't even go on because I think we're all agreeing that there's no really definitive answer on this.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our next topic. Churches were open for Easter, and this was controversial too. The federal guidelines say you should not have more than 10 people or more, but those are not laws. Those are not rules. States can make determinations on what the guidelines will be for social gathering. And of course, the theory behind the social gathering is the less people there in close proximity, the more we can contain the virus and try to get ahead of it. That's what we want to get the numbers so low that we can do the testing and find out who's got it, who doesn't have it, so that, as we just talked about before, we can go back to work. Everybody wants to go back to work. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
We just want to do it safely. Well, Pip doesn't want to go back to work, but the rest of
no,
us.
No, I want to stay at home, but the rest of you, I want the rest of you back at work.
Yes. Yes. So governors in several states have deemed church an essential service, allowing Easter worship to proceed even as public health officials warned that large gatherings could be a major setback amid a pandemic that has killed more than 16,000 people in the U.S. I feel like that's a lot more now. I feel like we're over 22,000, or is it 25,000, or is it 26,000? I'm not just throwing these numbers out there. I just really can't keep track of it. This is so horrible. I mean, these are people. I mean, we're talking about them like numbers, but, you know, this is my Facebook feed is filled with people I know who have lost people. These are real people with real lives and real loved ones. And, you know, people go, well, you know, you lost this much to the flu, this, that, the other thing. Yeah, and that fucking sucks, too. Don't get me wrong. But this is happening in a month, man. Think about that. 22 or 26,000, whatever it is, Americans in a month to a fucking virus. And we don't even know how – we don't even know if those numbers are completely right because you hear different things. Some people have counted. Too many people have been counted. So we don't even know. And we don't have the testing. But just wrap your head around that.
There are unseen casualty numbers in here, though, that nobody's talking about. Because everybody, especially in the tri-state area right now, we're ground zero.
Yes.
And everybody knows that the hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID patients. So what happens to people who have other problems? They can't go to the hospital right now.
Correct. All right.
They can't go. I was privy to a conversation where a person who has an underlying condition was having an issue that you would normally go to the hospital for. And the ambulance driver said, you know, if we can tough this out at home, it would be better because if you go to the hospital, you might catch it. Mm-hmm. And in a bad spot. You could die. So can't go. And what happens to them then?
And an interesting thing, a coworker of mine, she broke her ankle. She had a fall, and she's been wearing a boot for the past month. And she was telling me before the holiday, she goes, "I'm going to take this boot off. I'm going to try to walk on it." And I go, "Well, how long should you be wearing this?" "Well, the doctor says another week." I go, "Leave the boot on." I go, "If this wasn't going on, I would say, yeah, walk. But, you know, what's the worst can happen?" I go, "If you sprain your ankle or hurt your ankle, you have to go to urgent care. You have to go to the doctor's office, or you have to go to your doctor. They're petri dishes. You know, you don't want to go there. You don't want to take the chance because basically, if you do something to your ankle, you know, just because you didn't want to wear the boot, that could be life or death.
All right.
So there's a lot of other factors that go on with the virus." You know, people dying,
So Reverend John Grenier of the Glorious Way Church in Houston, Texas, initially moved services online after the county limited large gatherings, but his congregation held in-person services on Easter. He said, "We can't do what God called us to do on live stream." The church has installed hand-washing stations and rearranged a 1,000-person sanctuary to hold about 100 with 6 or more feet between them. They plan to hold 2 abbreviated Easter services to accommodate everyone who wants to attend. A panel of law, and we should note that Easter is the holiest holiday on the Christian calendar, and the Jews had Passover too, which I told you in the first segment is a lovely, fun holiday. A panel of lawmakers, a panel of lawmakers in Kansas has overturned an executive order by Democratic Governor Laura Kelly that banned religious services of more than 10 people during the coronavirus outbreak. The move on Wednesday came after the House and Senate Republicans in the state blasted Kelly's order as an unconstitutional overreach. Senate President Susan Wiggle, Republican from Wichita, said most people had already decided not to attend church ahead of Easter Sunday prior to Kelly's order, which took effect Wednesday afternoon, and also banned funeral services of more than 10 attendees. I think they were just very upset with the fact that the government was going to tell them they couldn't practice their religion. She said most of her constituents were already aware of the deadly virus, which had killed 42 people statewide. Well, her constituents are smarter than some of our governors, who seem to like fucking discover things new all the time that the rest of us knew. But don't tell us we can't practice our religious freedom, she said. Later Wednesday, Kelly criticized the vote as shockingly irresponsible while claiming it would lead to more COVID-19 related deaths. There are real life consequences to the partisan games Republicans played today. Kelly, meanwhile, has told attorneys to look into legal challenges to the revocation of her executive order, setting up a possible showdown. Kelly also planned to release a statement on the matter, blah, blah, blah. I've spoken with faith leaders from across the state, and they agree it's critical for Kansans to – I've never seen that word before, Kansans – to maintain proper
social – I know. I looked at that twice, too.
Kansans.
Yeah, Kansans. Well, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That Pip Helic has a nice set of Kansans. Anyway, to maintain –
Thank you.
To maintain proper social distancing, including during religious gatherings. They're sublime, I would say. As difficult as this is, that's just for Pip. We all must do our part to mitigate the spread of COVID. Kentucky is urging residents to avoid Easter services this weekend due to the pandemic. They said anyone that attends will be quarantined for 14 days. They're aware of about 6 churches planning to hold in-person services, so the police are going to record the license plates and notify them it's a misdemeanor violation. Local health officials will contact the people associated with those vehicles and require them to self-quarantine for 14 days. So he's worried this is the only way we can ensure your decision doesn't kill someone. Many churches are offered parishioners live streaming options so they can observe Good Friday and Easter on TV, smartphones, and computers. Others are sending worshipers to drive-in movies, which who knew they were still a thing. Pope Francis celebrated Easter Mass in Rome in a nearly empty St. Peter's Basilica instead of the huge square outside. And the United Kingdom Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, delivered his traditional Easter sermon by video. And the U.S. major denominations are adhering to the restrictions of keeping parishioners at home. In Miami, the Archdiocese, no in-person services are being held, but church leaders have recorded Mass in English and Spanish for broadcast on local TV. They taped the Easter Mass in all of its glory. The Catholic Church is not closed. People are looking for something uplifting. Reverend Michael Walters said, at the core of our faith, of the Christian faith, is the commandment to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Anything that puts the lives of our neighbors at jeopardy should not be promoted or endorsed through the church. Rivertown Church in Columbus, Georgia, which has about 200 members, plans to hold drive-in services for the third straight weekend on Easter. Pastor David Rathel estimates they drew about 55 cars last week. The church marked off every other parking place and asked parishioners to stay in their cars. Our message even this Easter Sunday is the resurrection has not been canceled. The motto on the church's website reads, come as you are, worship in your car. I will say churches, in my opinion, it's a very interesting story. I do not think that churches are an essential business. Do you guys think they're an essential business?
I think they're essential a part of the community. Because a church, gives unity to the community, gives hope to a community.
Yeah, but enough to be open? I mean, as we've heard, you can still cater to your flock online. I would assume you could still call your pastor or priest if you have a rabbi, if you have a problem. So it's not that they're closed. They're just closing the building. They're not saying you can't.
Oh, no. I kind of misunderstood. Let me explain myself. I do feel they're essential to the community. With that being said, with everything going on, they shouldn't be congregating there. They're essential to the community, but they need to understand that, you can't have gatherings. If it is essential, they need to find a creative ways, which the Catholic Church has, which drive it, other churches have, and they'll need to work around those constraints. But, defying that to have gatherings, I think is foolhardy.
You know what was interesting?
Yeah.
One of them said we can't do what God wants live stream. So my question is, does God have the same technical issues I'm battling?
You know what? Maybe so.
Can you see God? God's about to bring Jesus back for the resurrection, and then he's like, fuck it. We lost power. It glitched out. We'll do it again in 2,000 years.
Yeah, right. Why do you think God is everywhere? Because he tried going online. Go, I'll just be everywhere.
It's just easier that way.
Yeah.
God's like, I hear you. I'm there. Just don't try to find me online.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, God had his IT team were all these little cherubs with wings. And you know what? They just like flying around and playing harps and things. And they're not really good at that.
No.
Yeah, that somebody told me, like, God, you created the world in 7 days. Yeah, you ever try to make a TriCaster work? Really? Still can't figure it. I got the manual. I created everything. I don't know who created this thing.
God's like, well, this is why I created Asians. They'll explain this to me.
But... Yeah, believe me, I said Jesus Christ 4 times. The kid walks in asking me what I want. I'm trying to figure it out. I have a manual.
That's great. The kid walked in. What? Stop taking my name in vain.
God, you're being such a dad about it, man. I'm trying to FaceTime with my flock, and you keep on calling me. And then, you know, there's this woman who's really getting it good, and she's saying your name. I don't know what you want, man.
Why don't you try to fix the thing? Look, I can build you a bench or a shelter or even a kitchen cabin. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm a carpenter.
What I don't get about the one priest that was our reverend or whatever he calls himself that was saying that I can't do what I need to do with my flock. It's like, what are you intending to do?
You know what he's intending to do.
Online.
You know what he's intending.
What's that?
You know what? You're a dirty little Christian, aren't you? Yes. Jesus died for your sins. How do you want to sin?
Stay away from those poor choir boys.
Yeah, you know, it's something, look, it's something that you have to, you can't assemble, you know, it's
what, it come from IKEA?
Assemble.
What do you mean you can't assemble? What, it come from IKEA?
that's another thing, even, God just heard that, like, oh, not that either, no, that table's been in the corner, I after the dry caster, I'm not even going to think of that, you know?
So God created the world after 7 days, but he can't figure out online or how to build a table. That's what we've established.
That's correct. Yes, sir. Put that in the books.
Yeah. God shot his load in the beginning, and then it was all over.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the seventh day, he made an Allen wrench.
I do think it's, like, selfish of these people that they're like, you know, well, I have to worship my way, so screw society and everybody else who I may come in contact with. That doesn't seem very godly.
No, even the Catholic Church basically rules. Been that way forever. They are adhering to this. They are thinking of creative ways. I mean, they did on Channel 11. Here in New York, they did Easter Mass from St. Patrick's. It was just the cardinal, and you know, some assistant priests. The cathedral was empty, and it was broadcast across New York. So you know, there are creative ways to do that. You can bring the name of God to the people without them coming.
So
you know, if you're a good preacher and you respect your flock and know how to talk to them, you can do it.
So
I really loved the video of the congregation sitting in the parking lot in their cars, and the minister preaching to them with a microphone, and everybody was sitting there hearing it, and they were beeping when they wanted to, like, say amen.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, no, you can do it, and you can have. In some ways, I think when you do something like that, you're showing more of a dedication to God,
because
you're being creative. You're trying to take His lessons, even though God is clearly trying to smite us. He's, you know, let's be honest. Somewhere, somebody's going, you know what? I think God is dead. We haven't had plagues in a long time, and God said, "Hold my locusts and pestilence." I think that's what fucking happened.
Oh, believe me, God saw his hell at us, man. This is coming from God. Like, you're really all right. You're looking for locusts? Look at this.
Yeah, God's like, God's like, what are you doing to my air and my water? I made all this shit. You're ruining it. I'm going to eliminate some of you people. You guys know what you did.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
what did we do? I don't know. You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. You know, you'll figure out where your reservation is. Are you going downstairs or upstairs? But we'll be seeing you real soon.
Well, we're going to come to your house of worship and praise you. No, stay home.
Yeah.
But God, stay home. He's turning into a Jewish mother now.
You're going to catch a cult. God's
going to come visit.
God's like pacing up there. What, they never call. Now they all want to call in one day in one place. What's wrong with these people?
No, stay home. No, you don't call. Today's going to be. No, stay home. Don't bother yourself. I'll be here alone.
Like I always am, alone by myself. You never call. Sure, you say my name when you're getting plowed from behind, but I don't think it has meaning then.
I don't think it has anything to do with me.
Yeah, I just think it's something to say. You don't really want me there, do you?
And the first time I heard that, I'm like, that's nice. And then I look down.
Hey, hey! I didn't make that hole for that. No! You're using it wrong.
Yeah. You know, and I can't stand that these Latinos—they keep naming kids Jesus. It throws off my game.
Yeah. That, you know, but God favors the Latinos, because when the Latinos are in the moment of passion, they go, "I Poppy," and God goes, "Well, that's not for me."
That's not what I wanted to hear. No.
I somebody wants a bagel, but Jesus is for you. It's not for me. All right. So Florida, because it's fucking Florida. Has deemed, now World Wrestling Entertainment, formerly WWF, WWE, they have one of their training facilities in Florida. And they've been doing shows in Florida. But they have been deemed by the Florida governor as an essential business. Which means, while everybody else is locked down, they can still do shows. Interesting little fact, now Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida, big Trump guy. Linda McMahon's husband, Vince McMahon, is the CEO of WWE. Linda McMahon used to be part of the Trump cabinet, and now she's a very big fundraiser for a super PAC to get the president reelected. Anyway, the WWE has been deemed an essential business. Listen, I grew up watching wrestling. I enjoy wrestling. I don't mock people who like wrestling. I see the word. It's cool that wrestling is still going on for entertainment for people. That being said, you can't call it an essential business. You can't call it the same thing as what you're calling first responders, police, the grocery store people that have to be there, the pharmacists who we're relying on, the garbage men who still have to work. Those are essential people. The WWE is not essential. Unless the Hulk is going to go, what you going to do when the pandemic comes for you, brother? Unless he's going to do that, it's not really essential.
Well, you see, and you got a point, because what they should do is they should go, all right, we are essential. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put on a world wrestling show, and what's going to happen, they're going to have a wrestler dressed like the coronavirus, and they're going to hit it with a chair, throw it against the turnbuckle. That will build morale for the country, and that, to me, is essential.
But Joe, here's my concern. I feel like that wrestler would put his finishing move on the coronavirus, but then much like the second wave, the coronavirus would kick out at 2, and the match would continue. I don't think you could take down the coronavirus with just a steel chair or a finishing move. I think you're going to need it to reach a foreign object, not from China necessarily, but a foreign object nonetheless, my friends.
Yeah.
Well, there's the problem, because you're going to have to find an object that wasn't made in China.
Yes.
Right. And what they do is, you have a tag team. You have, like, the coronavirus, and then you have a Wuhan bat, and those two had to fight a tag team against, like, you know, whether The Rock or somebody like that,
Rock. If you smell it, what the vaccine is cooking.
Workshopping already.
Oh, God. Well, President Trump actually wrestled, so here's the way. He was part of a WrestleMania, so this is the way I see it going down. Like, a bunch of wrestlers, they're just stomping on the coronavirus. Just stomping on the coronavirus, beating the shit out of it. Then Trump's music hits, and the president walks down the aisle very slowly so everybody can enjoy him. So they beat the coronavirus to a pulp. The president gets in the ring, all the other wrestlers part, and the president pins the coronavirus so he could say he won and claims victory. That's how I see it going down.
Stop leaking the script.
Oh, man.
Everybody says it was a perfect pin. I hooked the leg. Perfect pin. No shoulders were up. That's what everybody's saying.
Wait till the show next week when you're going, holy shit, it happened.
I know, right? Right?
That'd be great. But we all agree. We all agree. This is bullshit, right?
Of course, it's bullshit. God. I can't even think of remotely how this is an essential business.
Now, this is politics. This is wrong, man. Because there's a lot of people that are hurting much more than wrestlers that don't have that money, that don't have the political connections that would love to be at work right now. But we can't. We're not allowed. It is what it is. It's wrong. It's disgusting. And like I said, I like wrestling, and I appreciate that they're creating entertainment. But I create entertainment too. people want to see what I do, but we're not allowed to.
And, right.
And somebody did test positive for COVID-19. It wasn't one of the wrestlers, but it was somebody from the crew. Now the WWE is trying to be as cautious as they can. They're not letting people in the arenas. They're not doing anything like that. You know, it's just a small group of people. That being said, there's no foolproof plan. So it really looks bad. It looks bad.
Yeah, it's really unfair. And as you said, it's only because of the connections that this is even being thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, Davin, you said, you know, I'm not going to make fun of people who like wrestling because you like it. But it's like, okay. Well,
Pip will.
Hold my oil. What? I can jump in there. That's ridiculous. Such a grown men oiling themselves up and jumping into a pit and swarming around. Yeah, this is really social distancing.
Yeah, but now you just made it sound. Now you just made it sound hot.
Let me give a for instance. Okay, basically they're talking about going out to the West, the baseball teams, and start playing in some of the stadiums, smaller stadiums out there. Just the teams playing, no fans. Now, if that comes to fruition, what is your opinion on now having the rest?
If that comes to fruition, that tells me testing is more readily available. But here's the problem. Unless testing is readily available for everyone, it's going to look really shitty when multimillionaire athletes can get tested, but the guy who owns the convenience store or a stationery shop or bookstore or cab driver can't get a test. It's going to have really bad optics. Again, Joe, it comes down to what we talked to before. The first thing you have to do before you open up the country is get a handle on the testing. Until that happens, none of this shit, as much as we would like to see it, can happen.
Yeah, just pretending that it's going to be okay is just magical thinking. That's not the way viruses operate. They don't say, you know what, these are holy folk, or, you know what, this is a really nice little tidy sport. We'll just leave them alone. It doesn't work that way.
No, it does not. All right.
And those go...
Well, go on.
People go out and spread their COVID to everybody else? No, 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 no.
All right, Joe, then I want to move on to the next.
Yeah, that would be a key. The testing is actually going to be the key to get the confidence back for people to go out to congregate. So that's one of the key things. So it's like I said, you know, I mean, we want to get everybody back to work. We have to, you know, and the next couple of weeks, you know, it's been every week has been just tough to make a call on something, you know. And when I was saying way back, when I said, well, it would be nice to get things going in Easter, I caught a lot of shit. How could you say that? How could you? I go, well, even the president is saying we're going to review that. If it's not there, then it's not there. At least we're taking a look at it.
Yeah, but that's the problem. This goes back to what we were talking about before. There are people, a lot of people in this country, that hang on the president's every word. So when he says stuff like that, he gets hopes up, but it's not realistic. Yeah. It's not realistic. That's why less is more. That's why we don't need a cheerleader.
Here's the deal. He said he would review it and take a look at it.
That's not what he said at first, Joe.
So we're going back to work. We never dealt with something like this before.
Right, but he needs to recognize that. He would be much better. I can't believe we're going back to this again. He would be much better off every press conference going, listen, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but the first thing I want to say, like I said yesterday, the day before this, we have not, this generation has not dealt with this before. So I do not have definitive answers. We're using the science to guide us as best as we can and then proceed. Cover your ass. That's all. He doesn't do that. Okay. So I have.
He did kind of allude to that probably about 3 days ago, where he did mention that we never dealt. Our generation has not dealt with this.
No. Every week.
Something like this was 1917.
Every week, the president has about one same.
1918, God damn it.
All right, Pip. Oh,
1918. Oh, I'm sorry.
Pip's offended for 1917. Anyway. Fuck, now I lost my train of thought. All right, here it is. Every week, the president has one lucid press conference. Unfortunately, there's six others. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope you're not looking for a fight.
And it's funny. Every week the press is like, oh, the president seemed calmer today, seemed to weigh the gravity of the situation. Maybe it's sinking in. Nay, nay, there's tomorrow.
Yep.
All right. So now I have a choice for you kids. It is getting late in the hour. I want to do Scamming Scammers tonight. So
yes.
We could go long. I could do the coronavirus scam story. I could do a poll about spectator sports and about people willing to go back, which ties into stuff we've been talking about. Or I can take our break now and we can just go right into Scamming Scammers. You guys make the call.
I think we should do a couple of stories.
And just go long tonight?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So you want me to do the coronavirus and the poll story?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's amazing what happens when they're doing from their own living room.
Yeah, I don't have a 2.5 hour ride home.
I got 2.5 hours worth of editing to do, stupid. Anyway, all right. a little scam busters here. Should be playing in the background. I don't know if it is. I'm not really worried about it. Anyway. I don't want to play the. Stop playing the music. Now I'm fucking having issues. I suck. Hold on. Here we go.
As Andrews got this in the mail Thursday. From the outside, it looks official.
Like it says, time sensitive, fast tracked, open immediately, do not bend, stuff like that.
But the Brooksville man immediately knew it was nothing but fishy.
Do you think whoever's behind this is trying to exploit this crisis?
Most definitely, yeah.
Andrews received what claimed to be a COVID-19 stimulus check for more than $3,000. Stimulus checks to qualifying Americans are a major component of the massive coronavirus relief bill passed by the Senate Wednesday. But Andrews knew there's no way these would be in the mail yet, so he posted on Facebook to give people a heads up.
I wanted to post that as soon as I could because I know that some people, especially like people like my grandma, would have fallen for stuff like that.
Along with the check is a letter telling people to come claim their stimulus incentives over the next week. It shows an address in Bushnell. No phone number, but a couple of cars you can buy there with no money down. And on your side found a phone number affiliated with that address and gave it a call. A voice recording said it was a carport and truck rental service. Andrews suspects it's a used car dealer trying to make a quick buck.
It's just not right the way that they did it.
Okay. All right. So if you couldn't hear it, basically this guy in Florida got a check and it turned out to be from a used car dealership. Basically it was an advertisement. It wasn't really a scam. It just looked like a stimulus check, but he got it so early. He knew it was bullshit and it was for a lot of money, but basically it was an advertisement. Right? I don't think it's a good way to advertise for your business by getting people's hopes up by being aspirational with checks. I think that's a poor decision.
Yeah, it's like you're going to pull a stunt like that and I'm going to buy a car from you. Oh, that's going to be a fair deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go out of my way not to do business with somebody like that. But that's stupid and kind of cruel.
So basically it was like collect your check or prizes and you showed up to the guy's fucking dealership. It was dumb.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Go on.
No, yeah, that's bad business. That they put their foot in cow shit on that one.
All right.
Oh, man.
And this goes back to what we were talking about, getting back to work, and then we will take our break. Spectator Sports pondering a comeback in the coronavirus era got a harsh reality check. A new poll indicating that most fans will stay away. In a Seton Hall University survey published, 72% of Americans said they would not attend games until a vaccine for COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus is developed. Only 13% said they would feel safe to attend under any circumstances, while 12% said would only go in some form of social distancing was practiced. Again, if it's the Mets in September, there'll be social distancing. The pandemic has decimated the sports calendar, shuttering Major League Baseball and NBA indefinitely while postponing the Summer Olympics in Tokyo by a year. President Trump has conducted a conference call with all the commissioners. He wants everything open. So the survey was of 762 Americans, so it's not a huge one. It was done by a phone, and had an error of error rating of plus or minus 3.67%. Those who thought the NFL should not open its season if social distancing rules are still in effect numbered 70%. For sports like baseball that are floating the idea of playing in empty stadiums, the poll revealed that 76% would watch the games on TV with the same enthusiasm as before. One health expert wasn't surprised by the poll results. It's understandable that people may feel hesitant to attend sporting events or other crowded events, even if restrictions for social distancing are lifted. Dr. Roberto Posada, a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Mount Sinai Kravis Children's Hospital in New York City, told the Huffington Post. While we hope that the effective vaccine will be developed, the process for vaccine development is slow and may take 12 to 18 months in a best-case scenario. Predicting what this virus will do in the next year would be very difficult, indeed impossible, at this point in time. So here's the deal. If there's no vaccine, I'm not going to a game. Now, we do have tickets for a concert in August that could be packed. Since I already have tickets, I guess I'd go in wearing a mask and protecting myself. Though, to be honest, I don't think that tour is happening the way shit's looking right now.
Which one are you going to? I forgot the year, the Poison Motley Crue one, right?
Yes, the Motley Crue one.
I don't know. And let me tell you something. I think we were toying with going to see the Circle. I don't even know if the July gig is going, and even the seeing the Circle here at home. I don't, you know, with Whitesnake bowing out, I don't know if Sammy Hagar is going to feel like going on the road if the attendance is going to be. So that tour is probably going to go.
Well, all the live concerts are on hold right now. Aerosmith just postponed their Vegas residency from May 20th to June 4th. New dates have not been announced for that. I would not go to a movie right now. Or I would not go to a movie until a vaccine is created. Basically, I'm not going to go out unless I have to go out. Am I going to go to a comedy club? Yes, because I'm fucking working. Do I think other people are going to go? No, people are not going to go out. I know we all want to get back to work, but people are scared. You got to have testing. You have to have a vaccine. That's what this poll is saying. Vox just did something, too, where it was like 80% of people. Yeah. We are psychologically scarred. People do not want to die for this shit. What Joe and I do is not an essential business. It should be. It's not. People are not coming out to this shit. You're not going to risk your life. Yeah, we'd watch it on TV. We'd love to watch it on TV. Because, you know, right now all we have is the news and it's depressing. But people aren't going out for this. I miss going to sports and concerts and movies and restaurants. But if there's no vaccine, and let's talk about that vaccine for a brief moment. Even if they come out with a vaccine, are you really going to rush to be one of the first ones to try a brand new vaccine that they rushed into production? Do you really want to be one of those first people?
Yeah, not feeling like the guinea pig for that.
Well, you know, and like I said, it's for right this moment, I would not want to be in a crowd. Going into June might be a different story, you know. I'd like to see baseball if they could do it in the stadiums. You know, you could always watch. It's always nice to have a baseball game on. With the NFL, I think with the NFL, it's not a consideration if people will want to go see the game starting in September. It's a consideration of when if they can get into camp. If they can't get into camp, I don't think there'll be a season.
Again, yeah. It's all coming down to this. Nobody's going anywhere. No, unless you have to. Unless your job depends on it and you're going to lose your job. But really, what type of fucking cold-hearted boss is going to really open things up when he's afraid of dying? Unless it's Hobby Lobby, which is fucking sick. That's a whole different story. But
I love Hobby Lobby.
Well, of course you do.
That place is a problem.
Yes, it is. Anyway,
yeah, it is.
But for different reasons than you're thinking, Joe. Listen, nobody's going anywhere. That's just the reality. I get it. We all want the economy to open up. It's just not going to happen. We are fucked.
Like I said, we need to take it week by week.
Yes.
And see where everything is going.
Yes.
And like I said, with the argument that we've been, the discussion, rather, that we've been having for the past three, going on 4 weeks, each week is different. So to make the comment, like I said with the previous two stories back, we'll have a discussion then. We'll have the discussion.
But here's the problem, Joe. Here's the problem with that. Since March 6th, and I've mentioned it before on this show, our president has said, Everyone who wants to get tested can be tested. We're a month later. We're still not getting definitive answers on it, which tells me they still don't fucking know when. So that's what that tells, which is really scary, man. That's what everybody should be focusing on. The tests, the vaccine. Because nothing happens without it. And we're all sitting here. And listen, can the government keep on printing money? I guess. What else? What other choice do they have? But the whole world is in the same situation. It's not like this is just America and everybody else is going to pull a fast one on us. This is just...
It's going to be a crucial point, you know, where people have to get back to work and we'll take the chance.
I don't think so. I don't think so, man. I don't think people...
Well,
I think so
in the effect. And like I said, at this juncture, hell no. But if it gets to the point where we're in late May, going into June, the curve has been flattened, people are getting better, things are wrapping up. If you are that desperate, you might take the chance.
Right, but
let's do it. Maybe not, but, you know, it may be slow. Maybe first people will go out, and there's a little bit to this. The first people go out, and maybe everything is okay, and then more people go out, and then people are sick of being cooped up, and they'll go out. The other point of this is what you're going to, you know, well, also having a relapse where it was like when you were sick and you go, I want to go out and play. I feel better. Yeah, but you're going to get sick. You're going to be in the house another week. That's almost the same thing, too. There's no easy answer to this.
No.
I think taking it week by week by week where the discussion continues and to see where we are. So that remains to be seen. Am I right? I don't know. Are you right? I don't know. You know, we got to see that, and that's been the whole problem with this is the uncertainty. We didn't have uncertainty. Look, when 9/11 happened, it was awful. But what happened is they attacked us, buildings fell. And then we said, okay, you know, we'll rebuild. We'll find out who did this. There was a little bit of uncertainty, but life got back to normal within a month. You know, there's no uncertainty. We're dealing with something we can't see. So, is there a right or wrong answer? Not at this juncture, and that's the kind of the scary part.
All right. Yeah. Let's take a break. I will call you guys on the break. I'll hang up and call you guys on the break. And then we will do Scamming Scammers. And the question of the evening is, well, I don't know if it's the question of the evening. It's been a lot of fucking questions, to be honest with you. The question for the next segment is... do we continue with Lacey, or is it Caroline's turn? And we'll explain to you why that is. If you guys weren't listening last week, we'll explain to you where we are in our stories. So, short break, a little less than 5 minutes, and then we'll do our last segment. So, hang out with us, please, won't you?